Hallelujah. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. And I thank God for that. Father in heaven, let your word be revealed unto us this night, my Father. And speak to your people, Lord. Transform us, my God. I thank you for your presence, Lord, in this place. I thank you for what you are going to do in our lives, my Father. I thank you for what you are about to do in our future. Father, I give you praise, I give you glory and honor for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, I started the topic of positioning yourself in the right position. Hallelujah. To position yourself in the right position where you are supposed to be. And I told you that our God is not God of confusion. Is the God of order.
Right.
Now, if he's the God of order, he has to make sure that each and everything is in order. He has to put people in order in the right place where they're supposed to be. Is that clear? Now, most of people, they disposition themselves. Now, when you disposition yourself, you miss a lot of things from God. And I believe that we are in a generation whereby the people, they have dispositioned themselves. Nations have dispositioned themselves. People, they have dispositioned themselves. Even ministers, they have dispositioned themselves. And even families have dispositioned themselves. Now, God is trying to call us back into the right position. When you read in Jeremiah chapter 15 from verse 19. We are reading Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19.
Okay.
Woo!
Alright,
Jeremiah
15:19.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them.
God bless you. The Bible says, thou says the Lord. The Bible does not say that thou says Busulwa. The Bible does not say thou says Harvey. It's saying that thou says the Lord. That means God himself is speaking to us. God himself is telling us what we are supposed to do. Now he's saying this. If thou return, then I'll bring thee back to me. If you come back into your senses and realize where you were, and you say that now I'm going back, then also God is willing to bring you back. If the Bible says that if you turn, that means before you were there. You understand? Then you just decided to walk away. Now, when you walk away, God will not follow you. God will wait for you. You understand? He will not follow you. Some people, they think that when they walk away, then God will follow them. No way. Because our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts.
Right.
Now, if he follows you, that means he's not God. That means he does not keep his word. That means he changes. Now, because he's not changing, when you walk away, he will stand and wait for you. Now, when you decide and say that I'm coming back, then he will give you a hand to bring you back where you are supposed to be. Remember, our God is the God of order. He positions people. He positions the nations. Now, when you walk away from him, he will stand where he is supposed to stand. He will stand where you are supposed to be. Then he waits for you to come back. And he's saying that I'll bring you back. Then you shall stand before me. That means when you are in the right position where you're supposed to stand, you stand before God.
Right.
Now when you disposition yourself, you are out before God. You understand? Now it's very dangerous to be out where God wants you to be. It's very dangerous if you disposition yourself and you go out from the presence of the Lord. It's very dangerous if you go from where God wants you to be. Yesterday I gave you an example here. That when it happens that one day your hand, you wake up in the morning when your hand is on the top of your head, you never be comfortable with it. Although it's your hand, it's on your body, but because it's out of the position, you are not comfortable with it. I believe if you go in hospital, you will tell them to cut it off. Yeah, you will tell them to cut it off. It's not supposed to be on the head. You are not comfortable with it. He does not make any sense to be there. It cannot even make any impact because it's in the wrong place. Then why do you need to have it on the head? Tell the doctors, cut it off.
Right.
There's no need of it. Now, if you are out of the position, you cannot make any impact. Because one day Jesus in John chapter 15, he says that without him, we can do nothing.
Right.
Now, when you are out of the position, then you can do nothing. When you are not with him, you can do nothing. Then you cannot impact anybody. You cannot transform anyone. You cannot build the kingdom of God because you are out from where you are supposed to be. Now, I believe that God is calling his body. He's calling the eyes to come back into the right position. He's calling the hands to come back into the right position. He's calling upon our leg to come back into the right position. Because he says, then we shall stand before him. Then our mouth shall be his mouth.
Yep.
He wants to use your mouth. He wants to take over. So that instead of you speaking your words, let him use your mouth to speak through you. But he cannot speak through you when you are outside somewhere. He wants you to be back in the right position, then he will be able to use your mouth. He wants to use your hands so that you can lay hands on people and they are healed. He wants to heal people, but he's looking for somebody to use his hands. But everybody is far away. Everyone is not in the right position. Now he's saying that I need to heal somebody, but I don't have hands because you went away. He wants to use your eyes. He wants to use your leg. He wants to go on the street. He wants to meet somebody and talk with him or her. But the legs are not there because you are far away. God is calling his church. He's calling us back to the right position. When you go out from where you are supposed to be, God will not follow you, but he will wait for you. When you read in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein.
Go on.
Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them.
You can stop there. You hear? The Bible says that thou says the Lord. Who is saying? Who is speaking to us? God himself is speaking to us. He said, thou says the Lord. I don't want you to take these words as if came from Busura or anybody. I want to take it that it comes from God and God is speaking to you. Yesterday I told you that God cannot bring me from Kampala to here just with a matter of coming. He brought me here to speak to someone. Yep. Now here is telling you that thou says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. That means there's the old path where people used to walk and find rest. When you look at your nation, people they don't have rest. Some people they are afraid. They don't know what is happening tomorrow. People they are worried. They don't understand what is going on. That's what is going on within your nation. Don't ask me how I came to know, because since 2007 I've been coming here. I've traveled in certain states. But you hear people, they are worried. They don't know what's next. People, they are losing their jobs. They are losing their houses. They don't know what to do. They are worried. Diseases are everywhere. People, they are tormented. They don't know what's going on. That's what is in your nation. People, they are afraid. Some people, that's why they put fence on themselves. They don't want anybody to come and harm them or hurt them. Why are they putting that fence on themselves? Because of being fear. Because of being afraid. You don't know who is going to assist you. You think that everybody is going to harm you. That is fear. And that is the devil who has done that. Now, that means people in your nation, they don't have peace. Right. They don't have rest. Right. Now, God is, why they don't have it? Because they have gone out of the old path. Right. Now, God is standing on the old path, calling them, please come back into the old path so that you may have rest. Yeah. But hear what they say. Ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk in therein. And find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not walk therein. People are saying, no. Although you are calling us back, but you are not going. Because they have their own ideas. They have the way they do their own things. They have their comfort zone. They don't want to leave their comfort zone. They don't want to do the way the Bible says. They want to do things the way how they think. Then they say, no, we are not going to walk into it. Now, because God loves us, he says, also I set a watchman over you. I believe that God sent me, I'm a watchman in this nation. I'm a watchman to you. God has sent me to speak to you. God has sent me to talk to this nation, that the nation has to go back on 9th in Minro. They are arranging to see that at least they can call people to hear this message. They are making flyers to give it out. We are going to see that at least we get even pastors so that I speak this message to them. When I was coming, as I started preparing myself to come, I was praying for your nation. Then I remembered one thing and I said that God has to remember this nation. Why? Because your forefathers, they did a great work to bring the gospel in Africa. Some of them, they were killed. Some of them, they died in Africa because of the gospel. They supported the gospel. Then I told God that you should remember that nation because of what their forefather did. Now I believe that God has to remember this nation because of what your forefather did. The way how they supported gospel, the way how they supported send missionaries, and some missionaries they suffered, they died there. We know what we know because of what they did. We talk about God because of what they taught us. You understand? Now, because of that, God has to remember you. Now, that's why He's calling you back. Come out of your comfort zone so that you can stand where He wants you to be. Come out of what you think, what you are. Come and stand where you are supposed to be. Put aside your pride. Amen. Humble yourself before God. Amen. Let Him allow Him to penetrate in your life and let Him do what He wants to do. Amen. You cannot force Him to do things the way you want.
No way.
He is God.
Yeah.
He is God. You cannot force Him to do what you want. You cannot force Him to do things the way you want them to be done. No way. He is God. He is the one who created you. He knows about your future. He understands you than you do. Now He's calling us to come back into the old path. He's calling you to ask for the old path. He's calling you to walk in the old path so that you may have rest. Your nation needs rest. Money cannot give it rest. You can have each and everything which you need, but it will never touch your heart.
Right.
In Uganda, there's a certain sister. She's born again. He was Catholic. He grew up in a Catholic home. He has money. She has money. He has houses. People, they're renting their houses. She travels everywhere. But one day, although she has each and everything, but inside her heart, she was feeling that he's missing something. And if she could go in Catholic church, he feels that he cannot get what she wanted from there. Then one day he decided to visit one of the born-again churches. Now when he reached in one of the church, they were talking about prosperity. When you believe God, God is going to prosper you. God is going to bless you. He's going to give you houses. He's going to give you cars. You are going to travel. Then this lady, when she went back home, thought, okay. That means everybody who goes in those born-again churches, they are poor. Because that's what they were preaching about. May I have my money? Then I don't need God to give me my money because I have it. Houses, I have houses. Therefore, I don't need God to give me houses. I have cars. I travel everywhere. That means I'm not supposed to be there because all of them, they are poor. Then she waited for one month. But she was not settled. She decided to visit another church. The preacher also preached the same message. She went around and said, I'll never go back in those churches. Let me go in Catholic churches. She went on going in Catholic churches for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. But something was missing within her. He was not settled. Although he had everything, but at night she could not sleep. He feels there's something which she needs. Then one day, as it was approaching Christmas Day, she decided to go in the village so that I can spend time with his parents. Then he bought everything which is needed. He packed them into the car. On 24th, he drove. 23rd, he drove to go to be with her parents. Now he was there 24th. Now, in the morning 25th, he asked her dad, that can you direct me if there's any born again church here so that I can go and fellowship with them. Then the father became mad. He shouted on her, I'm Catholic. I'm the one who gave even the land where they build a church. I have brought you in Catholic church. Now how can you go and join such a people? Are you crazy? I cannot allow you to go into such buildings. They respect me here. Then the girl told the dad, if you don't direct me where there is a church of born again, today I'm not going to church. I won't go with you. Then the mother came and told the husband, you let her go because she's grown. She can decide for herself. Then the father directed the daughter where was a small church roofed by the grass. A small house, a small church. Then he decided not to drive. He walked. Now he found them, they were praising, worshiping God, dancing for God. Also she entered, he sat down watching them. Then until that day, time of the preacher came. He preached the gospel. Amen. To come out of your sin. To repent. If you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. Right. After all the message, he called out a call. This lady stood up and came on pulpit and gave her life to Christ. Amen. And told the pastor that this is what I have been missing. Right. This is what I was looking for. Then he told the pastor that from today, although I'm living in Kampala, but I'll drive and I come here because this is my church.
Right.
She went back, he told dad, I'm born again. Dad told her that you are not going to spend a night in my house if you're born again. Then the girl packed her things and drove back to Kampala. On the following Sunday, she went back to that church. That church is from Kampala to that church is 44 miles. But he said, I'll drive there because that's where I found what I wanted.
Yeah.
Now he started driving there. Now one day he told the pastor, he asked the pastor if the land where they had built the church that belongs to the church. The pastor said, yes. He said, yes, we bought it. Then asked the pastor, do you have a plan for the church? The pastor said, no, we don't have a plan because we cannot afford to make one. Then the sister asked the pastor if the pastor can allow her to make a plan for the church. Then the pastor allowed her. She went and made a good plan. She came and bring it to the pastor. Then the pastor agreed it. She went back and told the pastor, the pastor asked her, the plan is too big. How are we going to afford to build this church? Then the sister told the pastor, don't mind. She went. She got people who can build a church. She bought each and everything. She came and built a church. After building the church, he bought a chair into the church. He bought the machines into the church. And said that this is where I want to worship. Now, she had money, but money could not give her peace.
Right.
She had cars, but cars couldn't give her peace.
Right.
She had beautiful houses, but couldn't give her peace.
Right.
She was traveling everywhere, but couldn't give her peace. Now, let me tell you people, even if you have each and everything which you need, minus standing where you are supposed to be, you never get peace. Because we don't get peace from what we have. We get peace because from where standing where we are supposed to stand, from being where God wants us to be.
Amen.
Now that's why he's calling us back and saying that, please go back to the old path. Check yourself. Stop being in your comfort zone. Stop comforting yourself. We have people comforting themselves, even God, you know what's going on within my life. Yeah, he knows, but he keeps his word.
Right.
You know how people, they are offending me, therefore because I'm offended with the people, let me keep myself here. You are lying. That is the devil deceiving you.
That's right.
That is the devil deceiving you. You cannot convince God because of what you're passing in. There's a certain sister in our church. She came and told me that if God does not answer my prayers, I'm going to kill myself. Because I've been asking God for years, but He has not answered my prayers. Now, if this church does not answer my prayer, then I'm going to kill myself. Then I told the sister, they don't think that you are going to scare God by killing yourself. And I told her, from that day Cain killed Abel, God has been seeing people were dying. Don't think that you are the first person who is going to kill yourself and God is going to be scared. No, she has been seeing that for generations. Then don't think that when you said that I'm going to kill myself, oh, God is going to tremble and say, no, please, don't kill yourself. She has been seeing that. Come back into your senses and do what God wants you to do. Amen. That's all.
Amen.
The following day, after some weeks, he came back and told me that, Pastor, really, you assisted me. Yeah, because some people, they think that when they do certain things, they are going to scare God. They are going to change God. No, God does not change.
Amen.
Read the Bible. Amen. God does not change.
Amen.
We are to change, not Him.
Right. Amen.
Even if you fast that you cannot change God, you never change Him. Always, He's a perfect God. He knows what He does. He knew you before the foundation of the earth.
Right.
Before you were created in the womb of your mother, He knew you. Therefore, you cannot change Him.
Nope.
You are to change.
Right.
You cannot pull Him and put Him into your box where you feel comfort. No, no, no. He is bigger than that.
Yep.
He's bigger than your minds. He's bigger than the way how you want to do things. You need to go back in the old path. If you don't go back in the old path, it is very difficult for you to have peace. God is calling you. Stop giving excuses. Stop blaming each and everybody. You blame so, you blame so, you blame so. Forget that. Because that is a spirit which came from the garden. God is asking Adam, have you eaten from that tree? No. The wife whom you gave me, he does not admit his mistake. He's asking the Eva, have you? No, you know God, he's the snake. Now we are still moving with that spirit. We don't believe our mistakes. We don't believe our weakness. We pass our weakness to other people. We blame other people because of our weakness. Let me tell you, our God is a faithful God.
Amen.
He sees ahead of you.
Yep.
Even if you give all the excuses, He knows that you are to blame. That's why, although Adam gave the excuses, the wife also gave the excuses, God started from the snake, He cast the snake. From there, He said, okay, Eve, also you come here. Also, He gave her what deserved for her. He came up to the man and said, okay, also this is yours too.
Right.
Now, don't think that you are going to, you know, to convince God. You know, as God, you know, I know you love me. He loves you. That's why He gave His son.
Right.
He loves you. But He will never compromise with you.
Right.
He will never compromise with you. Either you do what He says, either you miss everything. Are you with me?
Amen.
I know. I'm talking to Americans. But we have one God. We have one Bible.
Yeah.
We have one Savior.
Yeah.
We have one blood of Jesus Christ which forgives us, wash out all our sins.
Right.
We have one heaven.
Right.
Now don't tell me, no, this is America, Pastor. I don't know it. I know it. But we have the same God. If me, I have to stand in the right position, also you have to stand in the right position. No matter where you are. No matter what you call yourself. Stand in the right position. Turn with me in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're reading from verse 11.
Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.
You can stop there. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now we are seeing a man who has two sons. Then the young one told the father that, please, can you give him a portion? Now we are seeing here a father. A father with a family. Brother, yesterday I preached with you. Can you come over here again? Stand here. Now this is a father. She has a family. She has his sons and even daughters. Come and assist me too. Yeah, you stand there. Now, we have a father. Father and mother, they make a family, no so? Now, because they have a family, also God has his family too. That's the church. You understand? We have our physical family over there. God also has his church, has a family. You understand? That's why when you read the Bible compare the family to the church. When you fail to manage well your family, you're not supposed to manage even the church of God. When you are failure in your family, then it's very difficult also to make it in the family of God. You understand? Now, this is a father. He has his son. The youngest son, he's demanding his portion. And even the Bible said that the father gave him what belonged to him. But do you know why he gave it to him? Do you know why he gave it to him? Because this, his son, he had a position in that family. You understand that? He was given his portion because of the position in the home. Are you getting me? You understand? Because if he was out of the family, I don't believe that the father could give him what belong anything. But because he had a position in the home, he was part of the home. Because he was in the form, the father used to take care of him, protecting him, because he has a position in that family. Feeding him, because he has a position in that family. God had positioned him into that family. Now the father and the mother, they had to take care of him as a son who has a position in that family. You understand? Now, what empowered this young guy to ask for his share is because of the position in the family. He knew that I'm part of this family. I have a position in this family. Therefore, they have to give me my share. That's why God is after a family. He needs the family. He wants everybody to have a family. Sometimes in my nation, I feel bad when I see street boys. Because that's not the plan of God. It's because of the situation, either the parents passed away. A year ago, there's one girl. The father passed away when she was young. Then the mother went on struggling to see that can taking care of her, taking her in the school. Then a year ago, the mother also passed away. Nobody to take care. Nobody to be there for her. In my family, already by that time I had 9 people in my family, in my house, and in my home, which I'm taking care of, feeding them, paying everything. Because some of them, when they gave their life to Christ, their parents kicked them out of the family. Some of them, they are Muslims, and said, we don't deal with Christians here. I went and I begged them, I talked to them, but they couldn't. Until I told them to give me a letter, officially, that we have given them to you. Then I had to bring them in my home. 9 people. Now, even this girl, the father is gone, the mother is gone. She's there. I had to talk with my wife, and we brought her home. I wanted that is her to feel that she has a family. Now, those are 10 people. You understand? 10 people. I have a family of 10 people in my house. I have to make sure that they eat. I pay all the bills. But I thank God, because God is faithful, I know I'll make it. You understand? Now, if I see somebody who's not in the family, I feel bad. If I can bring everybody in my family, I could do that. Now, as God wants each and everybody to be in the family, it is the same way even to go on the side of the family of God. He wants everybody to be into his family. You understand? He wants everyone. That's why when he saves you, he cannot leave you on the street. He has to make sure that he brings you in his family. Right. He has to make sure that he positions you into a church somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
Are you understand? Are you understanding? He has to make sure that he cannot save you and leave you anyhow.
Right.
He cannot save you and leave you as a street boy or a street girl. After serving you, he makes sure that he puts you in his family. That is a church. He has to position you somewhere. Now, this son, after being given all what belonged to him, the Bible said that not many days he gathered all his belongings, he went away from the father. He went away from the father, taking all his riches. But remember, she has gone with riches. Minus what? Minus his family? Minus what? Minus the position. Because he was given all those things because of the position also. The father gave him the riches, gave him the portion because of the position in the house. Now when he went with riches and forgot the position. And even the father did not follow him. Until the Bible said he came back into his senses and said, hey, I have to go back to my position. I have to go back to my dad. I'm suffering because I'm out of the position. I'm suffering because I'm not in the family. I'm suffering because I'm out of the position. Because he was out of the position, he couldn't maintain what the father had given him. You understand? He had to lose everything. God bless you. Now, on the side of God, when God saves you, he positions you in the church and starts giving you his protection, his blessings, his presence. He starts working on you in the church. Now, when you disposition yourself, you cannot maintain what God has given you. Why? Because you are out of the position. Am I making sense to you? Because you are out of the position, then you cannot maintain what God has given you. Why God brings us in the church? You can say God bless. Why God brings us in the church? Tomorrow we shall be back in about that son. But the reason why God is bringing us into the church, turn with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We are reading from let's start from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 10.
Ephesians 4:10.
Mm-hmm.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave some apostles,
mm-hmm,
and some prophets,
mm-hmm,
and some evangelists,
mm-hmm,
and some pastors and teachers,
mm-hmm,
for the perfecting of the saints,
mm-hmm,
for the work of the ministry,
mm-hmm,
for the edifying of the body of Christ.
What's over there? When God saves you, he positions you in the church. He positions you in his family. Why? Why he positions there? Number one, he wants you to have leadership. You understand? And the only way of having leadership is in the church. Hello? Where do we find the apostles? We find them where? In the church. I thought on the streets. Maybe on the streets. Where do we find the prophets? Not in the market. We find them in the church. What of the evangelists? Teachers? Pastors? Now, because when God saves us, the Bible says that if you are in Christ Jesus, you become a new creation. The day when I gave my life to Christ, I was tall. Up to now, I'm still tall. That means I did not change. I was black. Up to now, I'm still black. I have not changed. But inside me, there's somebody who became a new creature. Now, after that, somebody becoming a new creature, God has to position me somewhere to make me perfect. I understand. He has to position me, although an inner man is a new creature. But the outside, mind, soul, and everything is mixed up. And now he wants to make each and everything to be perfect. Now that's why he provided the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and put them in the church. Now when he serves you, he positions you in the church. Why? Because he wants this fivefold ministry to work on you, to perfect you.
Right.
Now the problem which we have, that other people, they were offended by the church. Now they hate that word church. They don't want anybody to talk about church. But let me tell you, although you were offended by the church, but the truth is the Bible. The word of God tells you that you need a church. We have in Africa some people who are saying that they are born again, but they are misbehaving. Now I cannot say no, I will never be born again because they have misbehaved. The truth is, although they have misbehaved, but the truth is, I have to be born again.
Right.
Although people, they have misused the church, but the truth is, the church has to be there.
Right.
I don't know if I'm talking to someone. Although people, they have misused the church. People, a lot of people, they have been offended into the church. A lot of people, they have been hurted into the church. But the truth is, the Bible says, the church must be there.
Yeah.
The church is not bad.
Right.
But the people who comes in the church, they're the one who make it bad. Now, when you decide to say, I don't need to hear that word church, you are killing yourself and you are dispositioning yourself.
You
are dispositioning yourself. And you will never be perfect.
Right.
Let me give you another thing. All the churches is a center where God brings people who are not perfect to be perfected.
Right.
We cannot be perfected in bars.
Right.
We cannot be perfected on streets.
Right.
We cannot be perfected in our homes.
Right.
We can be perfected in the church.
Right.
Now, people who offend you, that's what they have to do because they are not perfect.
Right.
They are brought in the church to be perfect.
Right.
Now, if you think that everybody who is in the church is perfect, forget that. Including you yourself, also you are not perfect.
That's right. Amen.
Now, that is the work of this fivefold ministry. To perfect the saints. Now, when you deny the church, you'll never be perfected.
Right.
When you don't want to attend the church, you'll never be perfected.
Right.
The problem which we have people who don't want to be perfected and they want to be in the ministry.
Yeah.
That is wrong.
Right.
Here the Bible says that He called us, He gave us the ministry of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the work of the perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry.
Right.
That means after being perfected, then they enter into the ministry.
Right.
Now when you are not perfected, how can you enter into the ministry?
Right.
You need to be perfected. Where are you being perfected? Where are you being the perfected? In the church. That's where you are perfected. Now, this is what the devil has done. He has turned people to hate the church. We don't need church. We don't like church. I better stay in my home. We have them even in Uganda. You find them saying that, no, on Sunday I sit on television and I watch preachers. I have my pastor on television. Even the man whom you are calling your pastor, she has never seen you. Even if you have a problem, he cannot come and visit you. Even the time when you are watching him, he's in the bed sleeping. You know, this is my pastor. I feel he's my pastor. The guy is in his bed. Even if you want to meet him, he will never come.
Right.
He does not know even that there's somebody who calls so-so that I'm his pastor, I'm the pastor. He does not know that there's anybody who is called Steve in Uganda that he knows that he's my pastor. That is something wrong in our heads. How, you know, when I feel, I mean, I don't care, I can be in my house here. When he comes and preach, I feel the presence of the Lord. Who told you? Don't deceive yourself, please.
Amen.
Who told you? Let me tell you, it's very easy you to think that you're feeling the presence of the Lord when it's not the presence of the Lord.
Right.
That's true. I have found people leaving the home where I cannot even spend a week, an hour, because of the what I feel within the, that house. But they are enjoying it and they are saying that it's the presence of God. And I wonder how they can live into that environment. And they can tell, this is where God dwells. There's no way. God does not dwell here. You know, when I put on the preacher and start preaching, even on Sunday, it was a wonderful message. Which message? The message which does not change you, then there's a problem with you. Any message which does not change you, Christianity is changing. It's a journey of changing. Now, if you're not willing to change every day, you hear that message with your so-called pastor who is on the television somewhere, you watch him on YouTube, he's my pastor. She has been preaching for years. You are not changing. You are out of position. Come back into your senses. Go back to the church. Position yourself. Let God work on you. Let God work on you. We have preachers who are dying because they have decided to disposition themselves. And God, he wants to work on them so that they can enter into the ministry. They cannot enter there. They cannot operate on the level which God wanted them to operate because they are not perfected. Do you know why most of people, they disposition themselves? When we go back to that young guy, she felt that she has grown. He does not want anybody to tell him what to do. He does not want anyone to give him instructions. He said that, I don't want even my father to give me instructions. I'm grown. I can decide for myself. I don't want anybody to tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's the young guy. Then because of that, he decides, okay, give me what belongs to me. Now, most of people who don't want to have a church or to have another where they have to be, that is the problem with them.
Yep.
They don't want anybody to tell them what they should do. They don't want anybody to give them instructions. Let me tell you, if you are to be perfected, then somebody has to talk to you. How can I perfect you without telling you what you're supposed to do? Think about that. If I want to perfect you, if God brought you here to perfect you, that means I have to speak to you. I have to tell you what you're supposed to do. Now, because you don't want anybody to tell you what you're supposed to do and say, I don't want anybody to tell me what I'm supposed to do. Let me keep myself in the home. Let me keep myself somewhere. Because you don't want anybody to tell you what you're supposed to do, then you'll never be perfected.
Amen.
Now, if you want to be perfected, somebody must tell you what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
If you want to be perfected, somebody might speak in your life.
Amen.
If you want to be perfected, somebody must give you instructions.
Yep.
Some people, they don't want to be instructed. Look at your nation here. Everywhere, there's instructions. In Uganda, when we are driving, we are keeping left. Here, you are keeping right. Now, one day, say, no, I don't want to follow these instructions. Let me drive on left. You are going to die. I'm fed up of these instructions. I'm fed up. Let me drive on left. You are going to die. Then you have to follow the instructions. Now, as you're following the instruction there, you need also to follow the instructions of God.
Amen.
Allow somebody to speak in your life. Allow I don't understand. Allow somebody to speak in your life. Allow somebody to tell you what you're supposed to do. Because you are under perfection. You need to be perfected for the work. There is a work which you have to do. There is a work which God is working on you. But He cannot use you until you are perfected. Now that devil has separated us from the church. People, they may feel more comfortable in their homes, in their place of work, in their business, than the church. Then the devil says, okay, after separating you, I'm going to kill you. Because you'll never be perfected. Let me finish with this. Never, never think that the church is a place for the saints. All people who come in the church, they come in the church when they are not perfected.
Right.
Now, in the church, that's the place where we work on them to perfect them. Everybody who comes on that and enters into the door shares a different problems. Shares the way we think things, different background, different behaviors. Now, it's the work of this guy to work on us so that we may see things clear as the Bible says. Now, in the process of working on us, I might find myself stepping on you because they are working on me. Now, when you are offended and say, I'm walking away from the church, also you're not going to be perfected. Because this is a church where they work on us. By and by, we are perfected. By and by, God works on us. Now, when you keep yourself out of the church, that means you'll never be perfected. That's the problem with your nation here. We have a lot of people who don't want to be perfected. They don't want somebody to speak to their life. If somebody comes and speak on something which they are doing, they become crazy. Thank God I'm going back to Uganda. They become crazy. Instead of admitting what they are doing and say, okay, well, let's drop this and pick up what God wants us to be. Listen, there's a certain sister, he came when I was in Monroe. I came from upstairs, he came down, I met her, they were talking with Karen. And what I did is to greet her. Then after that, because I wanted just a bottle of water, after that I went back to my room, reading my Bible. Now, the following day, this lady sent a message to Karen that I will never come back in your home because that pastor did not welcome me. That I didn't welcome her. Therefore, she will never come back into her home and even in the church because I have not welcomed her. That is not my home to welcome everybody. That's not my house. That was the work of Karen and Bill to welcome the visitors, not me.
Right.
Now he's saying I don't. Now when when Karen came and talked to me, I thought that a priest had just looked at her and I sensed there's something wrong within her. I believe there is a certain spirit seated within her. That's why he cannot sit with me. That's not the issue. Because I cannot come in your home and start welcoming everybody. That's not my home. Even if you come in my home and start welcoming everybody, come in. Please. This, I'm to welcome the visitors, not you. You get me? Now he was blaming me. He was blaming Karen because I didn't welcome her. In which way? Those are people who are affected. I told that girl, Sister Karen, that if she does not change, you don't need her around you.
Amen.
Now that's the problem which you have, you people here. Being that your nation is known as a Christian nation, good. Your nation is known as the nation of freedom. Let me tell you, thank you for your freedom. But when we come on God's side, she has to tell us what to do.
Amen.
We should not tell him what we are supposed to do.
Amen.
Now, if he says the church, we have to do that. If he says repent, we have to repent. Don't question him. You have to repent. If he said that walk in my ways, that's what you have to do. Don't say no. Also, I have my own ways. Forget your ways. Walk in his ways. If he said that read the word, do that. If he said that believe in my word, that's what exactly you must do. Don't question God.
Amen.
Some people, they are questioning God.
Yep.
Why do I need to give tithe? Why do I need to give that? Let me tell you, once God says so, that's what you have to do.
That's it.
He is God.
That's right.
He is God. He created you. You did not create him.
Amen.
He's an everlasting God.
Amen.
Today you are sin, tomorrow you are not sin. But always our God is there.
There you go.
Today we are here, tomorrow we are dying.
Yep.
He will never die.
That's
why the Bible calls him Alpha and Omega. The beginning of each and everything. We came into the world when he's watching. And he knows how we are going to end.
Right.
He has seen kings and governments and presidents come and go. He does not go.
Right.
He does not go.
That's right.
Don't think that you have to make election, either you believe in him or he has to be there or not. He is there.
Amen.
You don't vote. You know, so now we are voting today if God will be there or not. Let me tell you, God is there. You cannot vote him in. You cannot vote him out. He is God. Now what you have to do is to submit and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you are saying. I'm going to be in the church. I'm going to allow you, God, to perfect me. I'm going to do everything which you need me to do. Because he is God. You cannot vote him out or in.
Amen.
You cannot scare him. Understand that. Let that enter into your mind and in your heart. You cannot scare God. He's an everlasting God. Imagine somebody who says in his word that his throne is in heaven. No, sir. That's what the Bible says. But the world is the throne of his feet.
That's right.
He steps on it.
That's right.
Now, including you and the world. But he's above each and everything.
Yeah.
Now, you want to instruct him. No, God, I think you better make it this way. You are lying yourself. Praise. Tomorrow we are back. We are going to see. We are still seeing that young son, how he handled her life, his life, because of leaving the position.